The opinions expressed on Three's Company are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
What's up, everyone? My name is Anthony Marinoff, or I also go by Tony. Alongside me is Evan Davis and Chris Capone. Here we are starting this amazing basketball podcast called Three's Company. We're here to tell you all the stuff that you need to hear during the NBA season.
Yeah, in today's episode, we're going to be going over, you know, just the start of the NBA season starting, as of recording, it's going to be starting tomorrow on Tuesday, October 22nd. We're going to be going over best free agency moves and worst free agency moves. We'll also be talking about some Dark Horse Award winners, some Would You Rathers, and just a quick wrap-up of the WNBA season that happened last night.
Yeah, so why don't we start off first with the NBA, look ahead to the season, just maybe some takes that we have heading into the year. Tony, do you want to start us off?
One thing that I'm really, like a hot take, I guess I would say, the Spurs take a huge step forward. I think the addition of Chris Paul and Devin Vassell last year being as good as he was, Wembanyama being the freak of nature he is, you know, Chris Paul is known to elevate every single floor. Like, this guy is historically good when it comes to making bad teams good. We saw that with OKC, 0.2% chance of making the playoffs. They go to game 7 against the Rockets. And, you know, if it wasn't for a bad Lou Dort shot, they could have had a chance to take on the Lakers in the second round. Now, I'm not saying they would have won, but who knows, right? History doesn't rewrite itself. But anyway, Spurs, I think, are going to take a huge step forward. Raptors, as, you know, being a Toronto city, I think they'll surprise people a lot. I think they have the capability to be at most like a 6 seed. You know, lots of talent on the roster, like at least in the starting 5. And some guys could surprise you. Grady Dick had a good tail end of the season. Obviously, you know, less competition, less pressure. So not as, what's the word? Not as impressive. But still, I think Raptors, you know, they'll put some people on the map.
I guess I'll go next. I'll go over my, you know, kind of big prediction for the year. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to have the worst season of all time for any NBA team. I think they're going to beat the 2015-2016 Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're, less than 10 wins. I think they're going to win like 9 games this year. I think they're going to be historically bad because I think at the deadline, they're going to move everyone they possibly can. They want to go for Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey. They want to have that number one pick, and they want to do anything they can to get to that pick. The Eastern Conference has a lot of bad teams. The Wizards, the Hornets, the Pistons, all of these teams are going to be really bad. But I think the Nets take the cake in terms of being the worst out of all of them. And I think players like Cam Johnson, Bojan Bogdanovic, these players that could have useful roles on other teams are going to end up being traded by the deadline. And the Brooklyn Nets will have the worst record.
I'll go next. I have two hot takes. My first one, I think the Clippers miss the playoffs. I don't think they even get near the play-in. And if they do get in the play-in, I think they get eliminated in the play-in. Losing Paul George and now Kawhi Leonard's out indefinitely. I don't trust James Harden at all. I think their bench depth is kind of weak now that Kawhi Leonard is out for the foreseeable future. You have Amir Coffey and Norman Powell's always been really consistent, but I just don't really like the makeup of this team. And you don't know when Kawhi Leonard's going to be healthy again. The fact that he's out indefinitely and he's had so many surgeries on his knee that I also think he might just call it quits by the time the season ends. I don't see how he continues. And my other, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I don't think the Philadelphia 76ers make it out of the first round, even after signing Paul George and now the emergence of Tyrese Maxey. Paul George already hyperextended his knee. He's so unreliable. And now that you're hearing that Joel Embiid isn't even going to be playing in back-to-backs, I don't think they can get this cute during the regular season and build up enough chemistry, because you have three guys that, yes, they can create their own shot, but Joel Embiid is solely reliant on the basketball. And Paul George, while he was the best catch and shoot three-point shooter last year, with his injury history and Joel Embiid's injury history, I don't think they have a successful season.
We talk about the Sixers, not to make it out the first round. Who do they lose to? Because other teams that, you know, you have the Bucks, obviously, you have the Celtics, you have the Knicks now, you know, they got to figure themselves out now with Cat, you know, going there. That was a crazy move. And like the Pacers, like sneaky good. Cavs could be sneaky good, but like I feel like the Sixers are still better than those teams, those bottom four.
I think the Sixers could lose to the Pacers just because the Pacers play at such a fast pace, no pun intended. But I think that's what would really hurt them because Joel Embiid, his knees always give out. And I just don't think he'll be able to keep up with guys like Pascal Siakam, Tyrese Haliburton, Andrew Nembhard, TJ McConnell. All these guys want to run the floor quickly. And I just think that bodes poorly for the 76ers, who are very old with Paul George and also just very unreliable with Joel Embiid.
I guess moving on, we could talk about some of the best free agent signings. We went over the 76ers really quickly, making a big move for Paul George over the past offseason. But I want to get some notes from you guys. What are some of the best free agent signings in terms of your own opinion? My personal opinion, I think a really sneaky good signing that was made that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, and although it might be a slight overpay, I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to the Magic is a really good move for Orlando. They're a team that really struggled with three-point shooting this past season. And, they were starting Gary Harris in a seven-game series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And no disrespect to Gary Harris, but he's not a starting level NBA player at this point in time. And in KCP, he's proven he can be a starting shooting guard on multiple championship teams, recently in 2023 with the Nuggets, and before that with the Lakers in 2020. KCP is a valuable asset, and I think it's a really sneaky move for Orlando to make that.
I'm honestly like he doesn't really move the needle for me. Like, I gotta disagree there. He doesn't, yeah, he helps, but he's still the Magic still aren't better than the Bucks. They're still not better than the Celtics, still not better than the Knicks. And KCP, he's older now. They paid a lot of, I guess the CBA is gonna go up, so yeah. The money
22
isn't
million
that big.
isn't much.
Yeah, it's not gonna be that much. The dude just wanted a payday, but it's just like like you are Suggs now. You just as of today, he just got that 30 mil a year, 5 years, 150 mil, which is
Yeah. Well,
ludicrous. I don't know.
breaking news, Alperen Şengün, 5 years, 185 million
Yeah,
extension.
that's like what that's almost $40 million a year for
Yeah.
Jokic Light.
Yeah.
So, oh sorry, baby Jokic. The bonus is
Yeah,
Jokic Light.
Jokic at home.
Yeah, but I guess like KCP, good decent move for the Magic. For me, my favorite move, I already briefly talked about this, is Chris Paul to the Spurs. 1 year, $11 million deal, very cheap. A guy tail end of his career, you know, but still lots in the tank. Don't get that twisted. This guy is gonna average a double double this season. He will. This Wemby will get at least like 15 points a game just off Chris Paul lobs. This guy is going to feed Wemby. Wemby will be a first team All NBA just because of, well, not just because, but a big help due to Chris Paul. And he's gonna average at like seven of those 10 assists a game are gonna be to Wemby just because of how good he is. As long as he holds up, Stephon Castle is there right behind him, but you know he wants those minutes. However, Vassell, he's out for the first, I think it was a 4 to 6 week injury with foot surgery.
Yeah.
So he should be back probably in about a month. So you know, CP will have a lot of those ball handling duties early on, and very easy for him to average a double double. I just think that he's gonna raise that floor so much. And Pop there, he's gonna, I think he's actually gonna, you know, care this time around because the last few years, ever since Kawhi left, honestly, that team has been so bad. Even when DeMar was there, like that team wasn't doing anything. They were,
Yeah.
I think they're at one point, they were like a sixth seed at best, like halfway through the year.
Yeah.
But DeMar, like he, everybody knows he's not that guy to go take you all the way. And I think Pop is going to lock in just before he retires, wants to get that all-time wins record. And he's going to, the Spurs are going to surprise people. And I think Chris Paul is going to play a huge part there.
Yeah, for me, mine is Isaiah Hartenstein going to the OKC Thunder on that 3-year deal. Like, and obviously he's out for the first 5, 6 weeks, whatever it is. But the one thing that OKC was lacking was size. And Chet Holmgren's good, but he's so thin. And it was just easy for centers to really beat him down in the post. And Isaiah Hartenstein, arguably one of the best offensive rebounders in the game. You saw how many extra possessions he gave the Knicks during their playoff run, especially in that series against the Sixers. So the best team in the West, they made some really, really impactful moves, but I think getting Isaiah Hartenstein. They probably overpaid for him, giving him nearly $30 million a year. But if you have the money to spend, why cheap out?
I'm not sold on the guy. Hartenstein, like, I just look back. He was a journeyman. Like, he was in Houston getting bum minutes at the end of the bench. And then he went to the Clippers. He was decent there playing behind Zubac. But, like, he's, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I'm just not sold really on the guy. Like, nice touch around the rim. He's great passing, big man. He can rebound well. But I don't know. I'm not the biggest Hartenstein fan. Something about that just for OKC is you got a lot of extensions coming up. J-Dub's gonna want a big one, and because they have so many first round picks and like a million, they somehow always restock them. I don't know how they keep doing
Yeah.
that. They have to extend their players, and money's gonna run out eventually because of the new CBA. They've changed the rules since,
Yeah.
really putting a constraint on going over the salary cap and going into the tax. Oh, I'm not like sold out. Again, addresses their needs. Like you said, Evan, they need a rebounding and shot blocking, and Chet being that skinny man he was. So just But now, speaking of acquisitions, we're gonna get into some of the worst acquisitions, can't say that word, from over the offseason. Evan, how about you start us off?
Yeah, I'll go back. I'm gonna go with Klay Thompson with the Dallas Mavericks on that sign-in trade. I wanted Klay Thompson, don't get me wrong, but I just did not think he was gonna get a 3-year deal worth $50 million. I just think that was ridiculous, especially coming off that 0 for game,
Yeah, 0 for 10. 0 for
0 for
10 in the
10
biggest game of the
game.
season. This guy's 0 for 10.
Yeah, and he was good during the regular season. Like, he's still a consistent shooter, but the problem is, like, now with age, he's slowly but surely kind of regressing. And I just like, you already have Kyrie, you already had Luka. Like, I guess, now that you have Klay Thompson just to be a spot up shooter, but in the starting lineup, like, what, I don't even know what their starting rotation is going to be. Like, you're going to have all three
It's
of those
probably
guys
like
on the
what? Luka,
court.
Kyrie, Klay,
So now you're going to have Klay
Kyrie.
Thompson be your small forward.
Yeah, and then who's they I know they got Najee Marshall, Derek, oh, PJ Washington.
PJ,
He'd
like, but
probably
that's
be
what I
starting their
don't get.
four, yeah.
Like, Klay Thompson is your three. Like, I just don't see Klay Thompson as a small forward. And he's a guy where it's like, if he's not shooting the ball efficiently, what is he doing on the court for you? Because he can't play defense. He's 35 years old. And there was a
Yeah.
reason why the Warriors were very reluctant to give him a big contract. It's not because they hate Klay Thompson. Like, Steph Curry was obviously very upset. I think Dallas, Mark Cuban, and I think the Mavericks kind of just got a little bit greedy. And I don't really see how Klay Thompson really contributes, because he's not going to take 15 shots a game.
I guess like he kind of replaces Derek Jones Jr., who was a
I
pretty
take Derek Jones
yeah,
Jr. over.
he well now he's with the Clippers, Derek Jones Jr. And
Yeah.
he was a like he improved a lot last year, man. Like, that guy, he was literally just dunking. That guy was that's all he was doing in Miami. And then all of a sudden, this guy just turns up with Dallas, and again, like we saw it a little bit in Miami, but nobody really thought much of him. And now Dallas in actual meaningful minutes, he was playing some pretty good defense, making some corner threes, being an important player. But Klay, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like Klay is like, yeah, he's not making a shot. He's gonna get ran off the court.
And he hasn't even looked good in preseason. He
No,
went, oh,
he looked horrible.
he shot, what is it, like 3 of 13 from three so far in preseason? Like, if he's not making threes, what is he doing? And now a 3-year deal?
Yeah, he's gonna be what 30? I guess 38 by the time that ends. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's just and you think about that. Like your first three players of your lineup are like pretty bad defensive. I'm not okay. Klay's not bad, but like he's like slightly below average, I'd say. Like.
He doesn't have,
He's
he's not
can
what he
play
used to be.
him. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, definitely not. Definitely not. But he used to be an
Like,
all-NBA level
nobody's going.
defender. And now he's just Luka, he doesn't try on like 75% of possessions.
When he does try, he's
When
actually.
yeah, no, exactly. Luka when he does try, but he has so much to do on offense. And that's
Yeah.
his choice. He doesn't want to give up the ball. Something I don't fully agree with. But then Kyrie, who's just never really been that good of a
Yeah, geez.
defender. But Dallas is kind of like that last year. Like again, other than Derrick Rose Jr., their backcourt was still atrocious. And Gafford and Lively were kind of always there for the to clean up. But that's enough about Clay Capone. I'm sure you have one you really don't like as well.
My worst free agent move over this past offseason was DeMar DeRozan to the Kings. I really don't
Ooh.
think that DeMar fits that well with the Sacramento team. The Sacramento team prides on running in transition and shooting the long ball. And now you just have another person that's going to clog up the lane for Sabonis. Sabonis is going to be in the paint most of the time, like 90% of the time. And DeRozan wants to operate in that mid-range area. The best offense for the Kings is Sabonis in the middle, in the paint, and everyone else four out, spacing for him. It worked before, and the Kings had a good season the year before last, where
Yeah, well, they
they
went to
were a
seven
three
with the
seed.
Warriors.
Yeah, when they went to seven with the Golden State Warriors and were able to run that offense through Sabonis and Fox, and had Malik Monk performing at a good clip and should have won Sixth Man of the Year.
That was crazy. He did it away. He got robbed.
Yeah.
Naz Reid winning that over Malik Monk was crazy. Only because Malik Monk got injured the last. For the last, I think it was like 7 games, like ten games. It wasn't even that
Yeah,
much.
Malik, he missed like just a little bit.
Yeah, Malik Monk should have easily won that. Naz Reid, again, love Naz Reid. That dude is a goat, but no way he should have won that. Anyway,
Yeah.
sorry, Capone.
But like, just continuing on, that Kings team prides itself on running in transition, pace and space. And now you add a 35-year-old who wants to operate in the mid-range the whole time. DeRozan has never been a good three-point shooter. He can take threes, but he's not really a high clip, high percentage maker of them. And you already had De'Aaron Fox, and who has gotten better with his long ball, but hasn't really been that consistent for his majority of his career. This past season, shooting 37% on 8 attempts per game. But what you really need is somebody like a. You didn't need DeRozan to clog up the paint when you already have Sabonis in that paint area. You don't need DeRozan in the mid-range area.
Yeah, I agree. I like it on some levels, but I also don't like. I'm with you. He doesn't fit their offense whatsoever. But something the Kings really struggle with is having another scorer in the starting lineup. Like Keegan Murray can't create for himself. Sabonis, God knows he can't create for himself. That guy is an offensive foul machine when it
Yeah.
comes to scoring. And then Harrison Barnes was one of the worst starters in basketball last year. And what am I missing? Somebody? Fox, Sabonis.
No,
Barnes,
Barnes.
Murray, and who's their first starter? Like, was it Kevin Huerter or something like that?
Yeah, Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, it was Kevin
Yeah,
Huerter.
that guy, lost cause, red, he's red velvet. Anyway, so I like
Yeah.
that, they had another level of scoring there, but I do agree he doesn't really fit their offense, and like what made them
It's.
so successful is the exact opposite of what DeMar DeRozan is.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-year deal, like a 3-year deal. And he's 35. He's going to be 35. Like, I just don't see that working.
Yeah, that's definitely a weird. It was a. I remember when I saw it, I was like, "What? This is
It's
so
such a
like."
weird trade.
He also just doesn't really fit anywhere. Like, think of a team where DeMar actually works, and let me know. Now, gonna go into a would you rather type situation. See a lot of people doing these, and we thought we'd wanna turn in on the fun as. DeJounte Murray is going to be our would you rather player. Speaking of him, I'll give you guys some players and you guys tell me what you think. I'll probably do like between 5 and 8 players and we'll go. So, would you rather DeJounte Murray or Zach LaVine?
Right now, I
Like, right,
think.
like fully healthy or like.
Let's, for the sake of argument, we'll say fully healthy. Right now, going into the season, we saw Zach LaVine have a pretty good preseason,
I
but
think Zach
I take
LaVine's the
LaVine.
answer. Yeah, I take Zach LaVine.
LaVine? Okay. Would you rather DeJounte Murray or Darius Garland?
Darius Garland.
Really, eh? That
I
quick?
would take
Yeah.
DeJounte Murray because, like, his defense, I know what his defense can be. And Garland is good, but at times he can also just be completely taken off the court.
Yeah, Garland. Down year last year, talking about not having so much fun with basketball anymore, and because he broke his jaw, right? Remember that, and that was
Yeah.
rough.
That was on
But no,
Porzingis, right? Like he ran into Porzingis,
I
broke
think so.
his jaw.
No
Yeah.
hesitation, though, eh, Chris?
Yeah. No, I think Darius Garland is a better player. I think
Way better.
he's more likely to be able to fit into other systems than DeJounte Murray would. And I feel like if you were to put Darius Garland on the Pelicans right now, they'd have a lot better of an outlook because they need a true playmaking guard. DeJounte Murray is kind of like a two guard, but like he wants to be a one, but he doesn't really have
The one.
the one ability to like really be a true
Well,
facilitator
he
and
aver I think he
playmaker.
averaged like 7 assists a
He,
game,
he
which is
averaged
good.
six and a half
Six and a
assists during the
half.
regular season.
But I don't really see him as a playmaker. I see him as somebody who's going to get the ball in his hands a lot and make passes, but I don't see him as a
That's fair.
playmaker.
We'll go next one. DeJounte Murray or Anthony Simons?
Oh, DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray. Really?
Anthony Simons can't even play more than like 30 games in a row without getting hurt.
I don't know, bro. I watch Anthony Simons play. That guy is a bucket. Like that guy gets he's nice.
But he's never
Yeah,
on the
like
court.
he plays. He plays
40,
enough. He
46
played
games
46
last
games
year.
last year.
Yeah, but that's Portland. Like they play definitely could have he definitely could have played more. He's like, no, I'm gonna
Okay,
play
he
for
could have
these
played
bums.
52 if they didn't tank the year. Like,
Okay, fine. Okay, DeJounte Murray or Jamal Murray?
Jamal Murray. That Bright Lights
I think I
merchant.
take DeJounte Murray.
Bright lights merchant. Jamal Murray's a bum though. That guy has been
No,
horrible.
no Lakers bias. I think I'd take DeJounte Murray. I think Jamal Murray is so overrated.
Yeah, I'm with that. He's only good against the
Dude,
Lakers. That's the only time this guy ever plays well.
in the Olympics too, even like he was
Garbage,
non-existent.
garbage,
He was
garbage.
non-existent. Like if he played his entire career against the Lakers, he'd be Michael Jordan. Like he turns up against them, and the problem is like with Jamal Murray, it's like it's heat check. Like if he hits like three in a row, you know he's hitting three more. But then if he goes cold, it's like that's the night. Like it's kind of like the metaphor of what the night is going to be like.
All right, last one. We'll do DeJounte Murray or Fred VanVleet.
Oh, DeJounte Murray,
DeJounte
Fred
Murray.
VanVleet stinks.
Really? That quick, eh?
Dude, the valet dude, man, like he can get you assists, but like
He
Fred
plays
Van.
really good defense. That's the
But
thing.
the thing is, VanVleet, he's not afraid to shoot it, and he'll either go 8 of 11 from 3 or 1 of 11 from 3, and there's no in between.
That's
Yeah,
fair. That's fair.
I think Fred, he's very inefficient, and you talk about defense with Fred, DeJounte's still a really good defender too. And I think I'd rather take that more consistent, scoring ability with DeJounte than I would with Fred.
Well, like for me, they're pretty similar, but like who would I like on Houston? I think Fred fits there better, and I think he'd be better. Like I don't say I think I would take Fred, just because I don't know. Just like he always plays defense. He's a much better playmaker. He's a better shooter. But yeah, I guess consistency is a pretty big issue with the guy. Anyways, DeJounte Murray looks like you beat out quite a few people today. Evan and I didn't think so as much, but Capone, you seem to like the guy. As we're going to shift over leagues, still staying with basketball. Yesterday, October 20th, was the final game of the WNBA season. The New York Liberty capturing their first WNBA title in franchise history over the Minnesota Lynx. Finally going 1-3 in NBA Finals series total, taking that series 3-2, but pretty good series, battling back and forth. Saw the Lynx come back in game one, and then, Liberty kind of beat the brakes off him in game two. Game three, that crazy Ionescu shot from the logo. Flash three. Like it was wild. Game four, Minnesota won, and then game five to OT. And
I mean, yeah, like, sorry to interrupt, but every game in this series being relatively like close, the only game that wasn't as close was game two, where the Liberty kind of went away with it late in the game. But every other game being a one possession game or an overtime is, great for that league. Sabrina Ionescu didn't have the greatest game in
yeah,
game five.
that is an understatement. She
Yeah.
was 1 for 19. She was
Yeah.
horrible. That
But
whole game, to be fair, that whole game was sloppy, but my God, she was horrible. I have
yeah.
never actually seen a player shoot that terribly. And it's in the biggest game of her life. Not
Yeah.
to talk bad on her because she had a fantastic series other than game five, and I'm a big fan of her and her shoes. I think her shoes are better than 90% of NBA players' shoes. But man, she had a bad game. Like 1 for 19, past the rock.
Oh, well,
What are you
yeah.
doing?
Well, she did have eight assists, but
Pass it more. Pass it more. There's no, once you're like 1 for 10, stop it. Like, unless you're wide open, I don't want you shooting the basketball.
it's like that Dion Waiters quote. I'd rather go 0 for 30 than 0 for 9, because once you go 0 for 9, it means you want to stop shooting.
I think that's going to be all for myself, Tony, Evan, and Chris. Thank you so much for tuning into episode 1 of Three's Company. We will catch you back next week. Stay tuned.